Welcome to the Live Free Podcast. I'm your host, Michaela Quinn, and I am a mom on a mission to help you launch, grow, and scale a profitable freelance business from home. Join me each week for tangible business advice, along with inspiring interviews, all designed to help you mom strong, work smart, and live free. If you are loving this podcast, finding yourself motivated or inspired, learning something new, or just a fan of the show, do me a favor and help me spread the message. Screenshot the episode, add it to your Insta stories, and tag me at Michaela.Quinn. Every share helps me reach more and more moms, and I may just share your share and feature you in my Insta stories too, because together we can take over the world. All right, mama, it's time. Grab your coffee, water, or wine, because we are starting. Brittany, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Michaela. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, this is so fun to catch up with you. I mean, you are just about, by the time we're recording this, coming up on your 2-year anniversary of being in the freelance work at home space.
Yes, I cannot believe it. It's been incredible.
Yeah.
It's been a journey, but it's been an awesome journey.
I can't wait for, like, I'm just so excited to have you on because you're someone who's been here for 2 years. You can talk about, like, you still remember the beginning struggles and the challenges and, like, what was going through your mind, what that looked like, but you can also share the amazing transformation of what that looks like a year down the road, and then fast forward 2 years down the road. So it'll just be a really, really insightful episode that I'm excited to dive into. But to start, if you're comfortable, would you mind just kind of taking us back to the beginning? How'd you learn about freelancing? What were you doing? Why did you decide? Kind of take us through that origin of how Brittany started a business.
Yeah, of course. So I have a little boy. He is 5 years old now. And when I I was ready to get back into the work field. I was a stay-at-home mom, ready to get back to working, but I did not want to give up any time with him. And so I don't know if you know this about me, but I was actually scammed. Before I took your course, I was in a scam her name was Tabitha Panginelli. And she promised to help freelance. You know of her?
I did not know that you were involved with her, but now it's ringing a bell. I remember all of this drama that happened. Like, her name, she was doing it to freelancers, but then also to, like, business owners as well. She was like, oh, I'll do all this stuff, take your money, and then just ghosted them.
Oh yeah. I don't know how much money she got away with, but for me, she was the one that I started seeing her Facebook ads and all of this stuff about how, you know, you can stay at home and work and make thousands and thousands of dollars. And so I had reached out to her. She had a $100 offer or a $1,000 offer. And I decided to do the $100 offer, thank goodness. And so she was going to coach me and, you know, do all the things. Well, as soon as she got my money, I never heard from her again. So thank goodness I was the $100 purchase and not the $1,000 purchase. That kind of...
When was that?
Gosh, that was 2019. I want to say summer 2019. So that happened. I was kind of bummed out. I was like, okay, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe it's all just, everything's a scam. Well, then I started seeing your Facebook ads. Your face kept showing up. And then I started seeing, you know, testimonials and real women that you were actually helping. And then I found your podcast. And I tell a lot of my clients that, you know, I would not even be in this business, in this industry, if it weren't for your podcast. And so I think podcasts just are incredible for that, you know, just for the value that they provide. And so I binged your podcast and was like, okay, this is it. So I invested in Overwhelmed to Overbook. And at that point, I knew about social media. I thought social media management was the route I wanted to take. And so I finished your course as a VA that was going into social media management. I eventually knew I would want to pivot down the road. I just thought it was going to be social media management. So yeah, I landed my first client within a month, and it was managing Instagram, and quickly realized that was not for me. I realized the hamster wheel that everybody always talks about of just, you know, constantly having to be on the platform and engagement and post and all of this, and realized that that I didn't have time for all that. So I then dove into Pinterest, learned all the things with Pinterest, and thought, okay, this is the route I want to take, and took on a Pinterest client. I loved Pinterest. I still do to this day. I think it's phenomenal for what it can do for a business. But one of my Pinterest clients had a podcast, and she mentioned one day about her podcast manager. And I was like, what? That's a thing? I didn't even know that was a thing. And so I reached out to her podcast manager. I wanted to learn a little bit more about that. And that's when I realized that podcast management was what I want to do. And that was actually August of last year. So I have been doing podcast management for a little over a full year now. And yeah, so I feel like my freelance journey has been a little all over the place, but I am now settled in my niche and love it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So I have so many more questions about like your business getting started story, but I'm curious, what was your background prior to being a stay-at-home mom?
So out of college, I did professional makeup artistry. I was really involved in the beauty industry. I managed a spa, that sort of thing. And then I kind of got burnt out from that and did a complete 180 and did project management for a nonprofit organization doing like digital marketing and that sort of thing. And then that's when I got pregnant with my son and mom life took over.
Okay, cool. So you got started. Did you ever end up having any virtual assistant clients, or was it just like straight into social media?
I want to say straight. I mean, they hired me as a virtual assistant. Same with the Pinterest. I was considered a virtual assistant, but I wasn't doing like admin tasks. I was doing more niche stuff.
Yeah. And so quickly learned, okay, don't love social media management. Instagram is a time suck. Can be for sure. And then was it your second client that you did Pinterest work for?
Third. So I did two where I was managing their social media. And then my third one, I did Pinterest. Mm-hmm.
How did you end up like connecting with clients? That's always something I like to ask people, because that's, you know, people who are kind of on the fence or just learning about this, the landing clients part seems to be a real big fear or something they just want more clarity around. Okay, like, I don't know anyone hiring a social media manager, a Pinterest manager, a podcast manager. Like, who are these people that hire you?
Okay, so I will say that there's people out there. There's a whole world out there in any niche. And for me, I have found success in Facebook groups. I do a lot of networking and meeting people there. And I think that's one thing that can cause people not to get started is, you know, you don't have a lot of Instagram followers or you don't have an online presence and you think, oh, well, nobody's going to hire me because I'm not constantly on social media. And that's so not the case whatsoever. And one thing I loved about OTO is that, you know, you teach people how to go into Facebook groups and how to land those clients and look for your ideal clients.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think Facebook is just a phenomenal tool for that.
Yeah. Has that still been a route that you're able to utilize to land clients as you've niched down and scaled to that more premium service?
Yes.
That's awesome. I love hearing that, because still so many people, I'll talk to people even in OTO currently, and they're like, okay, where are the premium clients at? Where are the people that are going to pay $1,500, $2,000 plus per package? I'm like, well, who do you want to work with?
You're right. And I will also say that I came across some research where it was talking about the salaries of like the average person on each platform. And the average person that hangs out on Instagram, they are not making over $100,000. They are, you know, they're more of the newbies or more of the people under the age of 30. Like it's more of the startup people. Whereas the premium clients, the business owners, they are on Facebook and LinkedIn.
Interesting.
LinkedIn is a huge one that I have not started with yet. It's one that I want to get involved in. But yeah, I would say if you want the premium clients and you're ready to scale, do not give up on Facebook.
That's so good to hear. If you can find that article, I would love to see that too. to share with people, because that kind of shocks me about Instagram, but it makes sense too, though. And when I think about Instagram, a lot of times the person managing or is active on that platform for a business isn't necessarily the business owner.
Right.
And you can put yourself out there and do the content marketing route. It just takes a lot more time to build. But when you're going into the Facebook groups, there's people actively there in a community asking questions. You can come in, answer, provide value, form that relationship, which can turn into a paying client relationship.
Right, right.
Wow, that's really cool. So a couple Instagram clients, started learning Pinterest, and that was when you fell into podcast management and taking on that. Talk to us kind of about the transition from, what did it look like as you started to grow your business and become more established of, okay, I realize I don't like social media management. Did you cut those clients and then shift to finding others on Pinterest, or were you kind of just still doing it all? Kind of talk to us about that messy middle section of the business.
It was messy, I will say. So I did end up letting the social media clients go. It was mutual on both of our ends. We just, you know, we realized it was just not a good fit. And then with my podcast, I mean, my Pinterest clients, so that one, I continued to do her Pinterest. I took on another one that I was doing her Pinterest, and she actually needed some podcast editing. She had a podcast and needed some editing. So I did that. It kind of just trickled into going from Pinterest to podcasting, to the point where today I still have two Pinterest clients where I'm handling their podcast as well as managing their Pinterest. Mm-hmm. And then the other ones are podcast only clients. But I mean, that transition was so smooth, because I feel like a lot of Pinterest people that are on Pinterest also have a podcast. Those two just, they pair so nicely together. But yeah, that was a smooth transition.
Yeah. Wow. So how did you learn all the things like Pinterest management to be able to do that service for a client, as well as the podcast management side? Like, what did that look like as far as you figuring out how to do that?
For the Pinterest, I took a course. It's been 2 years ago. I don't even remember the name of the course. It was like a $20 option, just taught me the basics. And then once I got that, then I learned on my own other pieces of Pinterest. But for podcast management, I took Lauren Wrighton's podcast manager program course, which is phenomenal. If you are wanting to go the podcast management route, it kind of takes you from virtual assistant into the role of podcast manager and teaches you all the things that you would need to know.
Hey there, real quick interruption from me, Michaela Quinn. Anyways, I wanted to make sure that you knew that we just added a 12-month payment plan to our program, the Live Free Academy. You can enroll and get started today for just $147. If you go to go.michaelaquinn.com or just head to the show notes on this episode, we've got it linked there as well. You can read all the details and click one of the buttons to go enroll. And on there, you'll see the 12-month payment plan option. When you choose the 12-month payment plan option, you get the entire course the second you enroll. We don't hold anything back because you're on a payment plan. You'll get access to the How to Build Your Business from Start to Finish course, skills training, the job leads board, the coaching calls, the student community Facebook group, and everything else that is a part of the Live Free Academy program, so that you can get started freelancing and land your first client in 30 days, 60 days, however long it takes you to go through the course and then start implementing. Again, you can see all the details at go.michaelaquinn.com/academy or head to the show notes and click the link there. All right, back to the show.
Like, as far as the technical aspects of what you need to do and how to do the job of a podcast manager, correct?
Right.
Right.
And I will say that I do get a lot of people that message me that are on the fence between joining OTO. They're interested in podcast management, but they're on the fence with joining OTO or diving straight into podcast management. And I think the biggest piece of advice I can give to anyone on the fence about that is do OTO. It provided me with the foundation to create an LLC, to learn about taxes, to, I mean, the groundwork, the foundation mm-hmm. work that you need for your business.
That no matter what service you exactly. want to offer.
Exactly. Because that's another thing that I took the Pinterest course, the podcast manager course. And that's one thing that I've realized a lot of the niche courses, they don't teach you that, you know, they mm-hmm. dive automatically into the services that yeah. you will be offering. And so I think that's one thing that OTO just stands out for is just that groundwork stuff, as well as you make sure that you do like podcast management work yeah. before you invest in a course. Because for me, for instance, you know, say I would have invested $500 or $600 in a social media management course only 2 weeks later to realize I didn't like it.
Yeah.
So I think going the virtual assistant route and kind of getting your hands in all different pieces to really know, okay, this is what I want to do. Now I can invest in a course that will allow me to be an expert in this field.
I'm a huge fan of the VA role. If someone doesn't have that, like, this is 100% what I want to focus on or what I want to do, because just like you said, it's going to open up so many doors for you so that you can learn what you like, what you don't, without having to go and, you know, invest tons of money in all different skills training type courses, which the skills training courses are great. Like, those are great. I like to kind of tell people, get started, get a solid foundation, see what you like, see what you don't. And then from there, your next step, the next best investment you can make in your business is niching down and specializing and focusing on becoming an expert and an authority in that niche service that you want to provide.
Right. Exactly.
Because I've seen so many people that will, even people that sign up for OTO, they'll sign up for OTO, they'll get started, and then they're like, ooh, shiny object. I want to do this social media course. Ooh, I want to do this Pinterest course. I want to do this course. And then all they're doing is collecting courses and learning and learning and learning and never implementing. So like right. when you purchase that Pinterest course, it was what I like to call that in-time learning, where you have that client who is ready and needs you to know how to do this. And so it makes sense, because otherwise it's all just theory unless you have clients to actually implement on it.
Right.
And in OTO, for those of you that are kind of on the fence, like, oh, should I go a more specialized skills route to start or go with OTO? We do have a section of skills training. It's not going to be as robust and everything you need to know about all of the services, but it's enough to get you started on, okay, here's how to edit a podcast. And it's actually was done by Lauren. She used to produce this podcast for a long, long time. And we have some Pinterest training from another Pinterest service provider, Emily Vales. And so there are trainings in there to help you kind of see and get your foot wet, but those aren't enough to make you that expert, but it's enough to get you started. So you can get some of that hands-on tangible experience to see if you like something or not.
Right.
Brittany, what challenges did you have like in building your business and getting started? Did you have any kind of roadblocks that you hit or challenges that kind of made you a little tougher?
I will say that there's always challenges in this entrepreneurial space, in the freelance space. And yes, I think the biggest roadblock in the past 2 years I can think of is when I had first made the transition into full podcast manager. I had a good set of clients. At that point, I considered myself fully booked. I had, I think it was 4 clients. And I had taken on all that I could take on. And I think I got a little cocky because I was like, oh, you know, I'm fully booked. Things are good to go. And then within the matter of, gosh, a 2-month time frame, I lost all those clients for various reasons. One, I had a death in the family, had to end her business. Like, it was crazy stuff. And so it's like, I say that God was giving me a taste of my own medicine, because like I said, I think I got full of myself and he was like, okay, nope, we're done here. And so, yeah. So within a couple months, I went from several clients to no clients. And at that point I was like, okay, well, this isn't for me. I'm, you know, what am I going to do now? And I just immediately switched my mindset and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to give up. I know I can get clients. So at that point, I felt like I was starting from ground zero. So I redid my website. I redid my pricing because I knew on my end, we weren't parting ways because of anything I had done. It was all just personal reasons on their end. So I knew I was providing value. So that gave me a chance to up my prices a pretty good up to where I then considered my package premium. You know, I began to just position myself as an expert in the industry. And within 2 months, I was then fully booked with more clients, clients that I loved. And I had at that point, I had doubled what I was making before. So, I mean, I think this space, it's all about mindset, and you can get caught in those mindset blocks and the woe is me. Oh, I'm not finding clients. Nobody's coming to me. And you can sit in that, or you can change your mindset and go out there and get the clients.
Yeah.
And
look inward at like, okay, is there something I'm doing wrong? Is there somewhere where I could be improving? Like what area, what needs to be tweaked? And just look at it as a challenge, as a problem to where there is a solution. And that is so hard to do and so hard to like, going from kind of cushy clients, I've got this, I'm on top of the world to zero, that's frightening.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of people would just stop at that mm-hmm. and just throw in the towel. Like, you know, I think you mentioned you wanted to or thought about, but you knew you could do it. You knew you could come back. And I think that's such an important lesson and something that if someone's on the fence to know that there will be challenges, there's going to be a lot of challenge. Freelancing. Yes, it is. I mean, I think it's amazing. I love it. It was amazing for my family, but there are still challenges. Nothing is going to come without challenges, but you do have options and there are things you can do to kind of turn it around. And so many people that are faced with challenges or are getting stuck that push through, there's amazing things that happen on the other side, like doubling your income, having amazing new, more dream, more aligned clients like that. That's incredible. And if you would have given up, you never would have reached that and saw that and felt that. And I just think each time, each challenge you face or each problem that comes up as a business owner, or even as a person, just helps to kind of brace you for that next challenge. And like, you can kind of look back and be like, okay, this is a challenge. At least this is what I do. Like, this is a difficult moment. I want to give up, you know, thoughts. Those are normal.
Yeah.
But, and like, that's not my answer. That's not what I really want. I've overcome other things. Like, and you, sometimes I talk to myself, you've done this, Michaela, and this, and this, and this, like you can figure this out too. Mm-hmm. And I think each moment, each experience just helps build kind of up that, like, that grit and that toughness to keep going. And at least, like you said, like switch your mindset. When you see those thoughts, hear those thoughts, you can be like, wait a minute. No, here, like I can do this, and just kind of flip that around. So that's really important. I think for people to understand that it happens, but also that it's normal. If you're experiencing that, it is so, so normal. Talk to someone, reach out to us. If you are in the overwhelmed, overbooked group, if you're not, I hope you have someone in your circle that you can reach out to that gets it, that understands, that can kind of help understand. Because when we're having those moments, we want to be heard. We want to be like understood and like validated, but also we need a push.
Right. And that's another thing that I think courses, you know, especially OTO is so, so valuable is the community. Because I will say, you know, as an online business owner, as a freelancer, people don't understand us. I want to say the normal people in life, the people that work the 9-to-5, they, you know, my husband has no clue what I do. My family, friends, no clue. And so if I go tell them, you know, I just lost all my clients, they're like, okay, well, go get a real job, go get a 9-to-5. Like, you know, nobody understands. And so I think having the community of these women that they go through the same things, it's, oh my gosh, it's so, so worth every penny.
Yeah. That having that, like, I've been there. I just went through this. Here's what I did. Here's how I pushed through. Like, let me know if you want to talk it out. That's really important. And I think the OTO group, that community is hands down the best, mm-hmm. the best bonus, the best perk, the best part of the program, because, you know, information is great. How to do something is great and helpful, but you're going to get stuck. You're going to need a community. You're going to need that support from somewhere.
Right.
To help you keep going. Well, I didn't want this to turn into like a OTO's amazing podcast episode. So I have some other questions for you. What are some of those things that you did in that time of like, okay, zero clients, or went back to like zero, kind of starting over? What are some of those things that you did to help, you know, position you more from beginner freelancer, getting established now into transitioning into more of that premium service provider?
One thing I did was I just revamped my website, changed the wording, and let's see, I just started networking in Facebook groups and, but to a different audience, you know, instead of, I think, targeting more of the beginner entrepreneur, I just went full force towards the 6-7 figure business owners and providing value to them. You know, mm-hmm. they need a podcast manager too. And yeah, so just providing value to a different level of client.
Mm. So kind of going back to the beginning, almost like back to the steps, back to the basics. Okay. Who do I want to work with? Getting clarity and understanding what they need, why they need it. Like, what's their mission? What's their goal? Why do they care? No one's like wakes up. I mean, maybe some people do like, oh, I want to start a podcast. Yes. It's a lot of work, guys. It's a lot of work.
Yes.
But so what's their reason? What's their mission? And how can you kind of meet them where they're at?
And now that you say that, you know, I actually did that. I now looking back, I feel like I went through OTO twice. So I went through it the first time and got my ideal client avatar. But then that second time around, I went through those steps again, but I repositioned. I had a whole new client avatar, a whole new ideal client that I was going out to find. And so, yeah, I went through OTO twice, but I kind of leveled up that second time around to a higher paying client.
Yeah. And it's not like, it's not rocket science to transition and pivot. It really is the simple building blocks that matter.
Right.
When you know who you want to serve, you understand their pain points, you can craft a message that connects with them. When you go where they're at, that's like the magic. So all of you guys that are here and listening to Brittany's story, and you're already established and you're wondering like, okay, what's the secret? Where's the ticket? Like, what door do I open to find these high paying clients? You might need to go back to some of those basics and really look at who you want to work with. Where are they hanging out? Why do they need your services? Why do they want you? And maybe that means updating your website or your portfolio and going from there.
And something as simple as increase your prices. Like right now, you listening probably need to increase your prices. And that is such a big thing I think the freelancers need to overcome is price increase. Mm-hmm. And I think so many are waiting for, myself included at the beginning of this year, we were waiting for like this magic, I don't know, certificate or something.
Someone to tell you that like, hey, you have now reached, you deserve to raise your prices. Like,
No. All you got to do is raise them. And mm-hmm. I promise you, it's nothing bad's going to happen. You'll get clients.
But that's so much easier
it
said
is.
Than done. Like, just raise your prices. Just do it. Come on. You can do it. Like,
I know.
Can you talk to us about like the behind the scenes and like the mindset work and how you were really able to raise those rates and like own them and be okay with that? Cause I mean, sometimes people all hear when I get on coaching calls, that's a lot of times I'm like, okay, you need to raise your prices are too low. Well, so-and-so said my prices were too high or that I was way out of their budget or whatnot. So how did you kind of battle those thoughts and just full steam ahead?
Make sure that what you are bringing to the table matches those prices. And I'm not necessarily even talking about, you know, the service you provide, but the customer experience, the systems, the onboarding process. You know, if you tell somebody you will have something for them by Friday, have it to them by Thursday, not Saturday, you know, one thing that I hear from clients is that VAs, they're having a hard time with VAs meeting their deadlines or getting on calls or something. And, you know, treat it like a real job and people will treat you like a real business.
Yeah. Deadlines are like a non-negotiable for me. That is
yes.
Okay, but also not fair. Sometimes I say I'll have things done by a certain time to my team. I'm the total cat or whatever, like kettle black, whatever. Hypocrite there. But just an example, I'm working with a premium SEO agency right now, and I'm not renewing services with them because they can't meet deadlines. It's not necessarily that their service or they're not good at what they do, but they were supposed to have an audit to me the Monday before Thanksgiving. I had to follow up 3 times. I had to call, and it is now December 8th, and I just got it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not okay.
Right. I just had somebody reach out to me and they're interested in my services. And they said they want an editor and they had an editor. They said the editing job was phenomenal, but the person they never responded back to their emails. It took weeks before, you know, the communication was lacking. And it's just like, come on, that's easy stuff that you can, that you can achieve. So I think just that in the back end of your business, get that together. And that itself is worth a lot to a lot of clients.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. So with like moving on to the higher rates, did you get a lot of people like get on discovery calls with people that were like, oh my gosh, you're way too expensive. Like I would never hire you. Or did people even bat an eye? What was that? Like, what was that kind of reaction? Because we're also worried about like, what if I raise my rates? What if I raise my rates? Like, what actually happened?
I will say out of all the proposals I had sent, there was only one lady that turned me down. And I knew she was going to turn me down on our discovery call because it was a lot of back and forth on the discovery call. But no, everybody else, it was a simple, okay, let's, you know, it's like I sent the proposal. And then that same day they signed the contract, paid the invoice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's another thing that we can get in our heads about because, you know, we start out with the low paying clients or the beginner business owners that they don't have a lot of money to spend. Mm-hmm. And so they are very picky with where their money goes. They may be late with paying, but mm-hmm. then if you switch to a different client base, they're not necessarily worried about that. They've got bigger things to focus on. So mm-hmm. they're willing to just pay you if that makes sense.
Yeah. They just want someone that they can trust, that they can rely on, and that's going to do a good job and have that communication back and forth where they're not going to have to babysit and worry and like follow up 3 times. Hey, is the podcast episode ready to go? Is it ready to go? Is it ready to go? Like call them on the phone. Hey, did you get it scheduled? No.
Right. Because again, that goes with, you know, they're not afraid or worried to pay you $1,500 a month because they know, again, because your business is so organized and you are running it like a real business, they know their podcast will be handled and live on time. So, you know, you're providing your end and they are more than willing to pay the high prices because they don't have to worry.
Is that something that you communicate like on the discovery call? Like, this is how I work. This is my processes that helps clients to feel comfortable and like, oh yeah, absolutely. I'm going to do this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Do you kind of walk them through like, this is how it works, all of that. And they're like, okay, I got it. I can picture it. Let's do this.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm curious now if you can share with us, like what do you actually do as a podcast manager? We didn't even get into that yet. What is that? Because it can be so much more than just editing the audio. So could you kind of maybe share with us how you work and like what you do and like what is it that you do for your clients? And maybe someone listening has a client who's starting a podcast and needs to reach out to you.
Yeah. For me specifically, I offer anything from a launch. We take your idea and bring it into a live show within 1 month time. So, and then as far as monthly management goes, I offer everything's customized. So anything from editing to SEO titles, descriptions, show notes, social media graphics, audiograms, and then So the full-on production and then, you know, guest management, pre, post guest management, Pinterest for podcasters. And then I'm really getting into strategy and marketing. So, you know, all of my clients are online coaches. So really helping them build out a strategic plan to get leads to purchase their high ticket offer and how to create that compelling content that will convert. So getting into the strategy has been a lot of fun for me lately. And
are you able to track that and show them to be able to report like you got this many leads and conversions from your podcast? Because that is a hell of a way to validate like, oh, you pay me $2,500 a month. Yeah, that might seem like a big retainer, but it landed you 30 purchases or whatever just from your podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
You track that, share that. That's huge.
Yeah. And that's something, you know, for any podcast managers that might be listening, that is a wonderful way to kind of scale further is to help podcasters come up with content and strategies and that sort of thing. Because yeah, not only do they need the production work, but a lot of times, especially this month, I feel like we are in a season of burnout for podcasters. I don't know if you feel that, Kayla.
I started feeling that way in September and we had to cut back to 2 podcasts. I mean, just with the pregnancy and trying to update, we're doing a whole revamp and update of the program, which probably when this airs, it's live. It was just a lot that something had to go and everyone encouraged me not to, but I was like, I'm not going to fight myself to do something. I need to cut back and it's okay. I understand numbers will probably fall. I understand. That's okay. And if that makes people in my audience mad and like never like me again, that's okay too.
Right.
Sometimes you got to do what's best for you.
Right. And that's something else, you know, as a podcast manager or a VA, any role is another way to position yourself differently is to kind of take on a coaching role or to just really be invested. You know, one of my clients, she's kind of going through something similar as you. She was doing a 2-episode-a-week show and it's been going since the summer. And with this past month, she's reached burnout. And I was like, you know, we need to keep doing this weekly because if you want numbers to keep increasing, we can't stop. But then at the end of the day, you know, her mental health is more important than a podcast. So I worked with her and we were strategically working together on how can we still keep this show growing and keep it going, but get rid of the burnout and the overwhelm. And so, you know, that's another thing for any service provider is just to
kind of like see those needs of your clients or see where they're struggling, kind of like back to where we have our own struggles or when we're going through our own like challenges, there's solutions to all of these challenges. How can you see the challenges that your clients are facing and bring solutions to them to help solve or move through that? So for example, I know when I was early podcasting, creating the content or like coming up with the topics was such a big time consuming thing that like I didn't have time to do. And so that was something Lauren stepped in and would create the topics and she gave me some talking points. Mm-hmm. And that helped so much just get my mind jogging and going. And when it came to interviews, I was like, I was spending so much time preparing for interviews. That was another thing. She was able to take off my plate and do some of that prep and research. And so that was a great way for her to kind of grow her package, grow her work. And it's definitely something to point out if you are taking on more, if the scope's growing, the package should be growing as well. So keep that in mind. It's not just taking on more for the same pay. If something's going away, just don't hesitate to relook at that. Clients are business owners. They understand a scope is changing. There's going to be a price change.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, Brittany, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today, opening up about your journey from virtual assistant, realizing you hated social media management, dabbling in Pinterest to finally kind of nailing it down as a podcast manager, podcast producer, and just kind of sharing the journey with us, the struggles, the insight you've learned. I think this is going to be a amazing episode for not only women kind of on the fence of getting started, but those women that are in that messy middle to help them kind of find their footing or maybe have the courage to take the next step to start moving more into that expert, more premium service provider role, whether it's podcast management or something else.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Michaela, for having me. It's always a pleasure chatting with you.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Brittany.
Now, just because the episode is over doesn't mean the knowledge party has to stop. Come hang out with me and thousands of other mamas in my free Facebook group. Just search Facebook for the Live Free Podcast Mastermind with Michaela Quinn, or go to the show notes. We have it linked there. And make sure you answer the questions so our gatekeeper knows that you want in. And don't forget, sharing is caring. If you are loving this podcast, please take a moment to share it with your friends. But make sure you tag me at Michaela.Quinn on Instagram and at Michaela Quinn on Facebook. See you next week.